righteousness of God has been manifested. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 471. It is May 13, 2016. Well, a conversation with a friend in Christ is one way to keep you from sleeping spiritually. We learned that yesterday. Do you have such a friend? Let's listen in on Christian and Hopeful as they have a conversation so that they won't go to sleep spiritually. We're reading from Pilgrim's Progress, Hopeful and Christian talking. Where shall we begin with our conversation, Christian wants to know. Hopeful says, well, where God began with us. But you begin, if you please. Christian says, let me sing you first this song. When saints do sleepy grow, let them come hither, and hear how these two pilgrims talk together. Yea, let them learn of them in any wise, thus to keep ope their drowsy slumbering eyes. Saints' fellowship, if it be managed well, keeps them awake, and that in spite of hell. Then Christian began and said, I will ask you a question. How came you to think at first of doing as you do now? Do you mean how came I at first to look after the good of my soul? Yes, that's my meaning. Well, I continued a great while in the delight of those things which were seen and sold at our fair, things which I believe now would have, had I continued in them, drowned me in perdition and destruction. What things were they? All the treasures and riches of the world. Also I delighted much in rioting, reveling, drinking, swearing, lying, uncleanness, Sabbath breaking, what not, that tended to destroy the soul. But I found at last, by hearing and considering of things that are divine, which indeed I heard of you, as also of beloved Faithful, that was put to death for his faith and good living in Vanity Fair, that the end of these things is death, and that for these things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. And did you presently fall under the power of this conviction? No, I was not willing presently to know the evil of sin nor the damnation that follows upon the commission of it, but endeavored, when my mind at first began to be shaken with the word, to shut mine eyes against the light thereof. But what was the cause of your carrying of it thus to the first workings of God's blessed Spirit upon you? No, the causes were, first, I was ignorant that this was the work of God upon me. I never thought that by awakenings for sin, God at first begins the conversion of a sinner. Secondly, sin was yet very sweet to my flesh, and I was loath to leave it. Thirdly, I could not tell how to part with my old companions. Their presence and actions were so desirable to me. Fourth, the hours in which convictions were upon me were such troublesome and such heart-affrighting hours that I could not bear, no, not so much as the remembrance of them upon my heart. Well, then, as it seems, sometimes you got rid of your trouble. Yes, verily, but it would come into my mind again, and then I should be as bad, nay, worse, than I was before. Why? What was it that brought your sins to mind again? Oh, many things. First, if I did but meet a good man in the streets, or if I have heard any read in the Bible, or if my head did begin to ache, or if I were told that some of my neighbors were sick, or if I heard the bell toll for some that were dead, or if I thought of dying myself, or if I heard that sudden death happened to others, especially when I thought of myself, that I must quickly come to judgment. And could you at any time, with ease, get off the guilt of sin, when by any of these ways it came upon you? Oh, no, and not latterly, for then they got faster hold of my conscience, and then if I did but think of going back to sin, though my mind was turned against it, it would be double torment to me. And how did you do then? Well, I thought I must endeavor to mend my life, for else, thought I, I'm sure to be damned. And did you endeavor to mend? Yes, and I fled from not only my sins, but sinful company too. And I betook me to religious duties, praying and reading, weeping for sin and speaking truth to my neighbors. These things I did with many others, too much here to relate. And did you think yourself well then? Yes, for a while. But at last my trouble came tumbling upon me again. That over the neck of all my reformations. Well, how came that about since you were now reformed? There were several things, actually, that brought it upon me, especially such sayings as these: all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. By the works of the law, no man shall be justified. When you have done all these things, say, we are unprofitable. And with many more such like. From whence I began to reason with myself thus: if all my righteousnesses are filthy rags, if by the deeds of the law no one can be justified, and if when we have done all we are yet unprofitable, then 'tis but a folly to think of heaven by the law. I further thought thus: if a man runs 100 pounds into the shopkeeper's debt, and after that shall pay for all that he shall fetch, yet his old debt stands still in the book uncrossed, for the which the shopkeeper may sue him and cast him into prison till he shall pay the debt. Well, how did you apply this to yourself? Why, I thought thus with myself: I have, by my sins, run a great way into God's book, and that, my now reforming, well, it's not going to pay off that score. Therefore, I should think still under all my present amendments. But how shall I be freed from that damnation that I have brought myself in danger of by my former transgressions? Ah, very good application. But please go on. Another thing that hath troubled me even since my late amendments is that if I look narrowly into the best of what I do now, I still see sin. New sin, mixing itself with the best of what I do. So that now I'm forced to conclude that notwithstanding my former fond conceits of myself and duties, I've committed sin enough in one duty to send me to hell, though my former life had been faultless. And what did you do then? Do? I could not tell what to do, till I broke my mind to Faithful, for he and I were well acquainted. And he told me that unless I could obtain the righteousness of a man that never had sinned, neither mine own nor all the righteousness of the world could save me. And did you think he spake true? Well, had he told me so when I was pleased and satisfied with my own amendments, I had called him fool for his pains. But now, since I see my own infirmity and the sin that cleaves to my best performance, I've been forced to be of his opinion. But did you think, when at first he suggested it to you, that there was such a man to be found, of whom it might justly be said that he never committed sin? I must confess the words at first sounded strangely, but after a little more talk and company with him, I had full conviction about it. And did you ask him what man this was, and how you must be justified by him? Yes, and he told me it was the Lord Jesus, that dwelleth on the right hand of the Most High. And thus, said he, you must be justified by him, even by trusting to what he hath done by himself in the days of his flesh, and suffered when he did hang on the tree. I asked him further how that man's righteousness could be of that efficacy as to justify another before God. And he told me he was the mighty God, and did what he did, and died the death also, not for himself, but for me, to whom his doings and the worthiness of them should be imputed, if I believed on him. And what did you do then?
I made my objections against my believing, for that I thought he was not willing to save me.
And what said Faithful to you then?
He bid me to go to him and see.
Then I said it was presumption.
He said, no, for I was invited to come.
Then he gave me a book of Jesus, his indicting, to encourage me the more freely to come. And he said concerning that book that every jot and tittle thereof stood firmer than heaven and earth. Then I asked him what I must do when I came, and he told me I must entreat upon my knees with all my heart and soul the Father to reveal him to me. Then I asked him further how I must make my supplication to him, and he said, go, and thou shalt find him upon a mercy seat, where he sits all the year long, to give pardon and forgiveness to them that come. I told him that I knew not what to say when I came, and he bid me say something to this effect, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and make me to know and believe in Jesus Christ. For I see that if his righteousness had not been, or I have not faith in that righteousness, I am utterly cast away. Lord, I have heard that thou art a merciful God, and hast ordained that thy Son, Jesus Christ, should be the Savior of the world, and moreover, that thou art willing to bestow upon such a poor sinner as I am, and I am a sinner indeed. Lord, take therefore this opportunity, and magnify thy grace in the salvation of my soul, through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And did you do as you were bidden?
Yes, over and over and over.
And did the Father reveal his Son to you?
Not at the first, nor second, nor third, nor fourth, nor fifth. No, not at the sixth time either.
What did you do then?
What? Why, I could not tell what to do.
Had you not thoughts of leaving off praying?
Oh, yes, 100 times, twice told.
And what was the reason you did not?
I believed that that was true, which had been told me, to wit that without the righteousness of this Christ, all the world could not save me, and therefore thought I with myself, if I leave off, I die. And I can but die at the throne of grace. And withal this came into my mind, if it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, and will not tarry. So I continued praying until the Father showed me his Son.
And how was he revealed unto you?
I did not see him with my bodily eyes, but with the eyes of my understanding. And thus it was. One day I was very sad, I think sadder than at any one time of my life. And this sadness was through a fresh sight of the greatness and vileness of my sins. And as I was then looking for nothing but hell and the everlasting damnation of my soul, suddenly, as I thought, I saw the Lord Jesus looking down from heaven upon me and saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But I replied, Lord, I am a very great sinner. And he answered, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then I said, but Lord, what is believing? And then I saw from that saying, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst, that believing and coming was all one, and that he that came, that is, ran out in his heart and affections after salvation by Christ, he indeed believed in Christ. Then the water stood in my eyes, and I asked further, but Lord, may such a great sinner as I am be indeed accepted of thee, and be saved by thee? And I heard him say, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then I said, but how, Lord, must I consider of thee in my coming to thee, that my faith may be placed aright upon thee? And he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He died for our sins and rose again for our justification. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He is mediator between God and us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. From all which I gathered that I must look for righteousness in his person and for satisfaction for my sins by his blood, that what he did in obedience to his Father's law and in submitting to the penalty thereof was not for himself, but for him that will accept it for his salvation and be thankful. And now was my heart full of joy, my eyes full of tears, my affections running over with love to the name, the people, the ways of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll stop it right there. The conversation is not over yet. And they're going to be joined in their conversation pretty soon here by Ignorance. Yeah, he's still on the road. We're going to deal with Ignorance next time. But that next time will be Monday, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's our day off, remember? And Sunday we go back to North Korea, talking about things going on there or things that have gone on in the past so that you'll be able to pray a little bit better. And then back to Bunyan and I hope Spurgeon one of these days soon also. He does have a lot more to say, but maybe not right away. The Lord bless you today. Don't forget that you're on my site there at Sermon Audio, that you'll find a lot of other things than what you're listening to right now. We have a lot of prophecy studies, for example, things about the end times. I've just studied the Bible myself. I don't study the works of other men on this. I just study the Bible and see what the Bible says and compare it to other scriptures. And well, I've got some things on there that I think are going to touch you and bless you. You be the judge as you go and look those things over. Romans 3:21 is where we began today. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested.